All right. So we see with that we filled you up with lots of information in your heads. Yes. Now you're in the process of sorting it all through. All right, so we'd like to call on you to join us in creating this workshop, in asking questions, bringing up your topics of interest and concern on this topic, and let's see if we can't really clarify some stuff and really give it extra dimension for all of you. All right, so where shall we begin? Ah. No one has an example? All right. Are you ready?
I think I am, but I'm really.
Hi, Galaxis.
Yes, hello.
I am practically scared even right now to talk about this. So try to understand, I was not abused in my childhood. But I had this pattern, and I recognize it again and again. It's a pattern of a hurt, of unjust punishment, which is brings a sense of complete powerlessness.
All right, and what is the common denominator of whomever it is that gives you that punishment or brings it to you?
It really doesn't matter. It's always somebody. In life, it's a pattern.
All right, but that person, what role do they play? Are they kind of like a, are they a loved one, or are they an authority?
Even parents is authority, and it was, for me, it was like a flashback when I was 7 years old. I was absolutely independent spirit. It's like going where I want to go. And it was after school, I decided to go with a boy to listen music. It's a first grade. First grade, it's 7 years old. And after I came home, I was punished. And I was really punished, if you think about this, for a reason. My parents didn't know where I, what happened to me, and I wasn't for a couple of hours. But it's the first time, and it's practically maybe one or two times more, when my mother really, really beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was complete misunderstanding why, and it was feeling completely powerless,
mm-hmm.
and feeling that I cannot, it's a hurt, and I cannot express, and I cannot do anything.
All right. And what has happened since you've grown up? Have you had anything like that?
Every time.
All right, and?
Like being at work.
So your boss.
Bosses.
The person who's in the authoritative position.
Yes, always authoritative position and always punishment without reason. Every time it does look like bringing me up to a certain level and absolutely unjust punishment, and I'm going down, spiral down. And then have to continue to work with this in this place, and every time I'm looking around, I feel this pain, unjust punishment.
All right. And all right. Well, that's pretty juicy.
Mm. And yeah, but interestingly enough, I'm projecting these things on events and people. Like I see somebody have a similar situation, I'm projecting and feeling the same way. And this is really bothering me, too, because I'm finding these situations around, too.
All right. So you're giving us two examples, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's just stick with the first one
mm-hmm.
for right now. And so currently or more recently you've had this with a boss in a work situation.
Actually, it's not currently. Currently, I had situation when I projected. But it's most of the time at work. I'm working every time going to office. I feel pain of unjust punishment, which was for last 3 or 4 years, like continuous.
You felt that there was a continuous punishment of
it. Yes.
And it was a misunderstood kind of thing.
I'm not sure it's misunderstood things. It was like get rid of things. When somebody's trying to get rid of you and trying to find way to do it.
Oh, so your suspicion is that that they were trying to get rid of you?
Yeah.
And so they were making your life miserable there, so you would finally say, I quit.
Trying, yes. I never quit, but... And
didn't work for them, huh?
No, it didn't. It's like, okay, when I started to work, I have had a lot of responsibilities. And a lot of stuff depends on me. When they started to feel that I cannot be, they want somebody in a management position who will not argue, who will not just tell the truth, they started to take this responsibility from me. Even things are failing, because decisions this person cannot make, right? It's mm-hmm. a different story. I don't want to go.
Right.
But problem is, I feel that it took 7 years for them to take a lot of stuff from me, and still they cannot take everything. And it just, but I feel every time I'm going, what to expect? I feel like I'm punished for nothing. I feel like it's just... beating for nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it seems that the punishment level is on a much higher level than what would normally, you know, be a punishment for an infraction that is kind of made up or very small or insignificant.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So. When it happens, when they pull their usual thing, and you realize once again, here's another one of those unreasonable kinds of punishment things. At the moment that happens, what do you feel?
I feel hurt, and it's practically feel in heart and in the third chakra, both, same time.
All right. And the pain is kind of, what kind of pain is it? Is it kind of a pulling inward, or is it a twisting, or is it...
It's like somebody set on fire.
There's a fire in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's really interesting that you bring this symptomology up, because the fire in there, that kind of a burny kind of pressure, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the part of your experience that is actually not hurt, but anger. That's rage.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's outrage that got buried because you were powerless to object.
Yes.
All right. So that's more in what we would call the anger category, most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is some hurt. And we would say that the hurt was more from your childhood, the initial incidents,
mm-hmm.
was more of a hurt because, in a sense, your mother did not trust you.
Yeah.
You see, and she did not trust that who you were was okay. In a sense, she did not, she basically, she knew who you were to a certain extent. But when she punished you, it was as if she didn't acknowledge, you know, who you really were. She basically punished you because she blamed you for giving her fear.
Yes.
And so she went into fear, and so what she did with her fear was basically beat up on you.
Yes.
So that you would stop making her afraid.
Yes.
Right. This is... Even though there is some hurt that she would not listen to you, that she would not understand you, that she would not allow you to continue to be yourself freely without fear. Most of that also is rage and anger. All right?
Yes.
And that burned in there. It burned. And there is hurt in there. But we would say your most significant emotional energy was anger. And it was a powerless anger on top of it. Where you just got your power just ripped away and there was absolutely nothing you could seem to do about it. Or otherwise, right, the consequences would have been too great.
Yes.
And you just can't handle the idea of those consequences. And bring you to your work situation, and the consequences are just too great. You have to keep your mouth shut. You have to endure it. Yes?
Yes.
All right? This is all rage. All right? And it comes from the outrage of what they're doing, because outrage is, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. And you know it's not right.
I do know.
So you have that outrage. But you know that if you were to express it, or at least you suspect that if you were to express your outrage at it, what would they do?
Actually, I expressed and I didn't receive positions. I was for 4 years denied race. And then they cannot, again, I am too important to get rid of. But still...
But the threat is still...
But if I would express on higher level, they would fire me.
So if you went above their heads in rank...
Yeah, they would fire me.
Right, because you'd make them... You create too much fear for them.
It is.
Right. So you have the same situation where there's too much fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't control it. Can't control you. Right?
It's true.
They can't control you, and yet, in a way, you let yourself be controlled by them.
Yes.
But you do that as a way to avoid further misery.
Yes, it's a survival mechanism.
It's a survival mechanism to avoid further misery. All right, so imagine yourself now in this situation looking at the passion, all right, the issue of your passion that's there. All right. The passion is, this is not right. This is not respectful. This is not true. It is not honest truth. Right?
Yes.
It's all kind of made up. It's manipulative.
And it's the best, worst part, they cut part of my job where I had the creativity.
So they took away the fun part.
Yes.
Hmm.
This is even worse.
That made it worse. Absolutely. So, right. All right. So you can see that, again, it has to do with their fear. And for you, you kowtow because of your fear.
Yes.
All right. So you've got an anger predominant with some fear and a teensy bit of hurt in there. It's kind of a leftover from mom.
Yeah.
All right. So when you process this, when you look at these taking on example situations, then for your survival, you have suppressed your expression. So we would suggest in meditation to go in your meditation, if you can't do it in person, without, you know, risking something or creating too much havoc, first at least do it in meditation.
Okay.
All right? And what you do is you stand up and say, I feel passionate about this. And you are violating this boundary of honesty and truth and respect. Yes?
Yes.
All right? And I am angry at you for doing this. Because it is not right.
Yes.
You see? And I am doing a fabulous job for you. I'm important to you. You rely on me. I am trustworthy for you. I show up to work all the time. On time. I'm there for you. And I feel when you do this, that every time I come into work, I have to brace myself and I have to be in tension and stress. And I'm angry about that because that's not right. My spirit and my soul are not respected. My temperament is not honored. My creativity has not been honored. Right? So stand up to him in a meditation and say that. And in the meditation, you know, you can make them sit there and listen to it, right? Whereas in real life, they can run away. They've got the power, in a sense. It's important to realize that they've got you kind of stuck in a earlier age self. You're not, when you go there, you leave your true adult self, your current age self, and you slip back into looks to us that you go back to about 19 or 20 years of age, emotionally, when you go there. Does that make sense to you? You're not in the powerful being that you are now.
I think even younger. I think it's even younger age.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a part of you that's still in child, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The part in child, part somewhere 13, 14 years old, because mm-hmm. I had the same kind of experience when I was child in a place where we were just playground. Let's just tell it's playground.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of experience, 13, 14 years old.
All right. So you're being pulled right back to the emotional state of that time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in the meditation, when you go into work, in your meditation, you imagine yourself going into work. You're going into work as the person you are now,
mm-hmm.
radiating your light, your power, in your power. Because in essence, really, if you think about it, you are very powerful there. More powerful than is comfortable for them, but nevertheless, they rely on you. You're a powerful, pivotal person. And when you go in there like a child or an adolescent or a young adult, you're basically going in there without valuing the power that you have. So you want to express that. I am a powerful person. You rely on me, you say to them in the meditation.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And then what you want to do as part of the process is to look at a positive future, where your passion can work with them positively to create something great for their company. So talk to them about that. How when they honor your passion, your strengths, your capacities, that it can turn the company on. It can give it more light, give it more energy. And you and they together can make a greater success than they've known.
Yes, I understand.
Right? So you talk to them about that and feel what that feels like. If you could do that, feeling safe, what would that feel like to you to say that?
I would feel in peace.
Right. So let yourself feel that peace, the safety, the strength, the calm inside yourself. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the fear part. Okay, you're afraid that if they get afraid, then they're going to manipulate you, and if you make them too afraid, then they're going to terminate your employment there.
Yeah.
And if you lost your job there, what would happen?
If it would be 10 years ago, I would probably still find. But right now, I doubt I can find job, same kind of job. But interestingly enough, I really want to explore different venue, but I'm not sure even where to go at this point. I was all my life in this, doing these things. So I'm not sure even what to do.
All right, but you could still do the same functions at some other company, yes?
In some way, yes. As an analyst, yes. And I'm a great analyst, and I know it. It's really my power. I can go to any system, it doesn't matter what kind of language, and I can find strengths and weakness in the system. It's a part of what I am. I see system as a whole, not like one piece. It's a little bit different view. It's a rare gift, and I know it.
Right. Okay. So when you do your process in the meditation and you're speaking to them mm-hmm. and you're addressing the fear mm-hmm. part, you get into your excitement. The excitement that you could find something even greater than what you're doing now. Okay. Not that you're going to, in the meditation, threaten them by your leaving, but basically tell them that you're so valuable, that you have such gifts, that you are deserving, you're worthy of a great deal more support than you're getting.
Okay.
All right? And you envision yourself in the meditation feeling the excitement that if they agree with you, that could really open up a lot more, that you could go into your job and get not just the creative part back, but even more creativity. That there's more possibilities for you. Or that if they don't like you and that you make them too nervous or whatever, then that you have so much value, that you have so much power, that you can step out of that job and go find something better where you are respected.
Yes.
All right? So you want to hold that energy in the meditation as well. How would that feel if you could stand in that in your safety?
This would be would make me feel great.
Yeah, you'd feel like pumped, yeah?
Yeah, I would feel my power's back. I would feel the same way, like my power is back. It just, it's very interesting every time if somebody would ask me, the company is doing good, bad. I told somebody that this company exists as long as I needed it.
That's true. I mean, you create your reality and you create an illusion that reflects you. Yeah. So if you are continuously reflecting to yourself that you're powerless, what is your reality trying to tell you? It's trying to say, listen, here's where you're giving your power away. And here's where you have the opportunity to take your power back.
Yeah.
You see. So, yes, once you take your power back, do you need that scenario? No.
No.
Either the work situation will change so that it adjusts and balances appropriately with your power and with the expanded you that you present yourself as being, or you find something better in which there's respect and honoring of your gifts. So you put that into the meditation. Now you've got in the passion one, you've got the honesty and the truth. And then in the fear one, you've got the confidence of your talents and your gifts.
Yes.
Right? So put them both together, and that feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Now, can you see how now your future is feeling more interesting just by doing that? It just kind of allows some of the tension that was hanging out there in the future images to kind of
shift, yes.
Yeah, you can feel the shift. Now, there's a little bit of hurt. This hurt is not from the office. It's not from your job per se, but it is a thread that comes from your childhood where you've been there so many years that they should know you well by now. You should know each other. It's almost like you should be family. In a sense.
Yes, and it was in the very beginning, it was a feeling of a family.
But right. And so you knew that they knew how to attack you in the most vulnerable place. Yes?
Yes.
Right? That's the hurt part that's left over. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, how are you going to love yourself? How are you going to love and nurture yourself while you're at the job? Put this into your visualization now. Imagine yourself going into the job. How are you going to love and nurture yourself while you're there? Because the part that they've torn into was the part where you wanted them or even needed them to respect you, to approve of you, to honor the work with you.
Yes, it's true.
Right? And that part of you that was looking to them for that got trashed.
Completely.
You see? Completely. And you have not finished healing that part. And so imagine what would it feel like if you could go in there and love yourself, and that loving and valuing yourself so beautifully and having forgiven and released and healed the situation with your mother and with authority figures in general, what would it feel like for you to go in there and when they began to go digging in that place, in that sore place, start wounding and poking you again in that place, that it wasn't anything much there. And you just said, hey, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? we're working together for a common vision. Yeah. You see, and we need to have, care for each other, because we're working together. We're spending hours of our days together. Some people spend more time with business associates than they do with their family.
Yes.
And so the family can be all hunky-dory and wonderful and so on, and their relationship at work can be all, codependent and crazy, and their whole life then can kind of feel screwed up because they don't have a sense of love in their work.
Not at all. Just considering that I don't have a family to come.
Mm-hmm. That's worse. Right. Then it's all. It's everything.
It's everything. And on the other hand, I do understand it is everything. But on the other hand, I don't want to be everything. I want to have life.
Right. But you see, you're still been giving a little piece there, mm-hmm. of yourself to them.
So I need to take
kind of an offering. And you want to take that piece back. Yes. That's a piece that says, I'm trying to be nice to you. Please be nice to me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to care for what you're trying. See, you're doing a lot of compromising to try and keep them from feeling scared.
Yes.
So that they won't bang you up. Right?
Yes.
So look at it this way. I care enough for you to cover your ass, right? Mm-hmm. So I would request here from the light being that I am and the loving being that I am, I don't need your approval, but I request that as a loving truth in this business, that we work together, at least in friendship and honesty and equality of being, because yes, you may have a higher position, but as beings, we are equal.
Yes.
So in a loving way, we can create a beautiful environment for all of us and a beautiful business. So in your visualization, add that piece in now. How does that feel?
Safer. Fear dissipated,
mm-hmm.
and still feel that it's not quite fulfilled, but it's a different story. I'm not sure it's connected to this particular case.
All right. Well, now there's also things that you can do to release those emotions and in a process. And, for example, in a meditation, you can go and tell them off, beat them up, blow them up, and then forgive them until you kind of just get it all out, get it all through, get it all cleared.
I'm doing it time to time, but...
Sometimes, you see them every day. Do you do it every day?
No, it's like it was in a way when my situation at work was so painful, it was hard to stand. It was like blessing in disguise. They didn't have a place for us to sit, so we're working from home, and mm-hmm. we're twice a week in the company. But every time I see it, it hurts. This is how it's a little bit different, but it is still the same. It just so.
What is still the same?
Same. So every time I see it, every time I feel the same pain, and sometimes I'm going and seeing them, and I'm trying to beat, especially one face, really trying to beat to a mesh, and forgiving myself for this. And
right. Well, you know, if you do this emotional kind of process and get yourself to a place where you hold the resonance of your power, you don't have much that you really feel that you have to forgive yourself for. Because you can actually go there and not look as if you're behaving any differently than you are, than you have been. And yet, you can be in a totally different consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's the object of doing it in meditation. So okay. We're very glad that you brought this up, because that's the first place to do it. First place to change would be in your meditation.
Yes.
You know, then that gives you the chance to kind of try it out, you know? Try to see how does it feel to speak out to, what would I communicate? What would I say? You know, you don't have much experience communicating what you feel to these people.
No.
Right? They've been making sure that you've kept your mouth shut for some time. So what you want to do here is also to realize that the part of you that had given your power away to them, that was looking for their kindness, is not your current self. Again, it's your child self, still wishing that mommy could be okay and trust her.
True.
All right? So what you may want to do is to do a meditation in which you go and visit your child self and love her and hold her. It's really about love. See, the hurt is healed by the loving. So you just love and nurture her and tell her, look, I'm the adult and I'll take care of everything. So you just let yourself be held and let yourself be loved, and I'm just going to love you and love you, and I'm going to give you everything you want. You see?
Yeah.
And then over a time, see, as we said, hurt takes some time to do. It takes a little while to turn that one around. So the hurt part, which comes from the inner child, it needs several days of you just holding the inner child and loving her. We would recommend that when you go to bed at night, to hold her and love her and just fall asleep with her in your arms. And you can get perhaps a special pillow. A beautiful, beautiful pillow, and this will be your child pillow, and you hold the pillow in a loving way, and this is like you holding your child. It kind of holds that energy for you, in a sense. And then you just go to sleep holding this pillow. You understand?
Yes.
It's just, and over time, it will heal that part of you that is looking for them, to your bosses and so on, to care for you, to respect you, to love you, to work with you, to see you as the being that you are, which is a bit beyond their capacity. So basically, as a way of handling it and going into powerlessness, you shrunk your auric field and your light way down, so that you're not so bright now when you go into work.
Yes.
Now, what if you went into work with no chip on your shoulder anywhere? You had processed it out. You've done this in the meditation. You're holding the energy of this, holding the energy of the passion, the excitement about the future and the possibilities, and stepping into the unknown and how marvelous and wondrous that's going to be. And the hurt one, the little child self, not even having to go to work anymore. Hey, she doesn't have to go in there. She can be staying at home and being in the lap of a guardian angel. You leave her there all day. And the guardian angel will just be there with her while she plays and does whatever she's going to do. And she can wander around and go anywhere. And she has the guardian angel with her. You see?
Yes.
So after a while, you'll feel that energy shift too. And then you go into work holding the radiance of yourself, staying in your power. Yeah, you're not maybe going to step forth and immediately and say, well, here, I have something to say to you, and so on. And, you know, think about it several days before you even think about even whether there's anything you can say or not, because there are people out there who will not understand at all what you say. They won't, just won't get it, because what's their reality about? Is either control or be controlled, right?
Yes.
Scare the pants off of other people or be scared yourself.
Yes.
You know, so they see it in that kind of quote-unquote survival of the fittest type of way. They may not even get the concept of cooperation. So you hold the resonance of it nevertheless. You
and
see?
And let opportunity to come.
And allow that opportunity to come.
Okay.
And the opportunity may come actually at your work. But if not, it may come from somewhere else. All of a sudden you see your way. Oh, there it is. And a possibility for an interesting job offer or something like that that you can pursue. So you don't really know what your potential is until you hold that resonance of you, the powerful, the light being, in your passion, in your excitement, and in your loving yourself.
Okay.
You see?
Yes.
And if you can hold that all day, regardless of what things they do or don't do, after a few days, this is going to be a different experience for you. The pattern will break. Now, whether, you know, you'll stay there, that's a whole nother, you know, possibility, or who knows how that's going to unfold. But in your reality creation, it'll unfold so that you can be more and more who you are all through your day.
Yes, and in this case, maybe something different emerge.
Something different will emerge. Whether it'll emerge there or somewhere else, or who knows where it'll be. But something will change in your outer reality after
yes.
a while. But you have to hold the energy yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if you find yourself going into powerlessness and you find them saying things that really tick you off and get you all out of balance again, then what that means is that you've got, you know, some anger, maybe some fear or some hurt or whatever, and so you just go back and reaffirm the meditation or pause, go into the bathroom in a nice stall and get back into it and hold it and make a choice to go back into it, because the choice to step into this energy, positive, powerful emotional energy with intensity and light, that's your choice, and you want to go and make that choice and then step into it and really own it, you see. And you can, sometimes you can't do it while you're right there looking them in the face. But as soon as you get a break, go and get your power back up and put your light out there. And another thing that you can do, if you're in an environment day after day after day in which you have had to deal with these kinds of emotional subjugation, you might say, that you might want to put in meditation, you might want to put psychic crystals all around the office so that they will radiate and shine light regardless of whether you're there or not. And just kind of start shifting the energy of the whole place. Because when we tune into you and we see you go into work, there is a cloud of doom and gloom on this place.
Absolutely.
And it's not just yours.
It's not mine. It's really
it's every, you know, it's not like they just treat you particularly bad. They don't know how to treat people well.
Yeah, they change a lot from a place who cared about people to a place who practically abused people.
Right. Well, you can understand it from the point of view of their fear.
Yeah.
The more they get scared, the worse they're going to be. In the old paradigm, that is.
And they're living completely in the old paradigm. Even owner of the company trying to be so spiritual, but he's never at work. Yeah. So
Oh, that's
it's just
too bad.
Yeah. And so, he's relying on somebody who, this is a problem. He's relying on somebody and trusting somebody who is completely not what he is presenting.
Right. So you put a whole bunch of crystals into their offices.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just put so that there's a lot of light pumping into their offices.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they come up with a lie or doing things deceitful, then you can imagine yourself in a visualization going into the office and talking to them about it.
Yeah.
From a place of power. And you can just talk to them that way, but in a place of power. And then you come back in your imagination to your desk and expand your aura out and return.
Okay.
All right. So what you're doing is establishing a different energy, but you've got to stay in your positive emotional state. Because as soon as they do something to you and you start getting out of balance, you know, there's like the inner child is running back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And it will do that for a while. But there will come a day that the inner child will not return. And you will not fall out of balance. And you will hold your energy. And you will hold your light. And you will be able to love yourself and feel some love for all of those people. And that includes even the bosses who are acting like crazy people.
Assholes, it just...
Right. But you see, eventually you'll take all the judgment off of them.
Actually, this is very interesting. Sometimes I remember I was talking to him, and first we were just really unfriendly. I felt a good stuff, and I felt bad stuff same time. In a way, I'm forgiving him, and in a way, it hurts. It was double hurt because I trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like betrayal in the
right
way it was.
And that's really good. Put that into your meditation. Mm-hmm. Where you step forth with passion.
Yeah.
You know, you speak it with passion because to you, betrayal is one of the worst things you can do to anybody.
Yes, for me it's everything.
It really is big. And so you're going to feel passionate about it.
Yes.
All right? So you talk about it in your meditation to them. Now, what happens when you do this is that on a psychic level, you're plugging in with them and you're sending them informational energy. And the reason we suggest that you come to a place where you don't judge them anymore is because you're still connecting with them. And if you send judgmental energy through your connection with them and they think that you're thinking of them as assholes all the time, what kind of psychic energy are they going to pick up from you?
I hate them. It just
that's right. Now, how are they going? Are they going? How are they going to like you if they just keep picking all this up in the vibes, right?
Yeah,
it's just reinforcing their bad behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're human too, in the sense that you know, if they felt safe, they could be very nice and loving, but as soon as they feel threatened, judged, pressured, demanded, whatever it is, as soon as they feel certain, whatever is their buttons, you know, they're just going to lash out. That's their emotional response, is to defend, to be hostile, to control, to manipulate. That's
yes.
their response to emotions.
Yes.
So you want to send them on your connection to them, all the messages of truth that mm-hmm. you want them to know in their psyche. And they will get them. Whether they will be able to bring them into a conscious translation, that's another matter. But at least the frequency is there. It won't be as alien if you've implanted them, in a sense, and connect them with light. It won't be as difficult for them to make the stretch.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and it's not like you can't just do this. You've done things that are harder than this.
Yes.
Right? And you did well. And you went, yay, I made it. And you celebrated it. And so this one, though, the reason that it's been a bit long-lasting has been because your inner child self has such an investment here.
I think so. I need to start with her and then reverse situation at work.
Yes, and you'll reverse your energies, and you'll talk to them, and you'll send different energy to your bosses, and the energies between you and they will shift, and your relationship will change. And it will have to change for the better, because you're not sending any, you know, asshole energies through the airwaves to them anymore.
Yeah.
And you know they're picking them up from everybody else. It'll be kind of a contrast for you them not to be picking them up from you, too.
Okay.
Right? It's like, yes. Oh, there's light over this person. You know, she's been really, you know, they're going to like you, where they're not going to like that one. It's going to be interesting for you to watch this happen, you see?
Yeah.
But you have to just stay in your power there, because mm-hmm. you've got so much more light. This is part of one of the, and finally, one last thing, is that one of the things that happened when you were 7 is that you had so much light. And your expansion of who you saw yourself and knew yourself to be was beyond what your mother's comprehension was.
Yes.
And so it scared her. You were outside her realm of safety. See, the unknown is always fearful for people.
Yes.
Unless you are very deliberately conscious about it, as we've been talking about today. But she could not grasp. She knew that something was big with you. And in a way, she respected it up to a certain point. And then you were just too much. You were too big. Too much light. It had to be curtailed somehow so she could feel safer. All right?
Yes.
So here's your opportunity, here's your chance to really be the big light that you are and go way beyond the scope of your bosses.
Okay.
And instead of them being, when they get frightened, instead of getting the negative psychic connection with you, they're going to get a positive psychic connection with you when they're frightened. It'll actually be comforting for them. And they won't know what hit them, okay? They won't know what it is. All they know is that somehow or another that they'll have that they're shifting their behavior, if they even observe that.
Yeah.
Because they're just not that conscious about it. But you'll see the shifts.
Yeah.
The longer that you hold your light, and the greater you hold your light as being, the more external shifts you will notice. Because your reality has to come into alignment with you. Absolutely has to be in sync with who you see yourself as being. And when you were seeing yourself as being the child, your reality had to come in and kind of bear down on you. But now you don't have to do that any longer.
Yes. I want to lighten up a little because it was really heavy stuff. When I started to work in the company, they had a slogan called Make It Happen. So one of our girls took stickers with a slogan and put it on the stall. So if you go to the stall, meditate, make it happen.
Oh. Well, good, you can reframe that one.
This was funny, but it was true.
Isn't that great, though?
Yes, it is.
Right. Of course, for a lot of people who got soured on the bosses, they go into the stall and they see that and they go, yeah, 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 that's just them beating down on us some more. You see? But you can go in there and go, ha ha, I'm the reality creator. Okay, I'll make it happen.
That was really funny, but it happened in life, so it's real.
Exactly. Isn't that marvelous? What feedback you can get, yes? All right. Thank you so much, dear one.
Thank you.
All right. So we have anyone else who's courageous
Number
enough?
Two.
All right.
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
I was here a month ago when you came through, and thank you for all the wonderful things you told me. I've been studying them. You may know that. And learning a lot from them.
Great.
So thank you so much.
Well, you're moving right along.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 90% of my life really intact. Things are going very well in many areas, but one area is still there's a great amount of fear. And one thing that I'm trying to develop more, just like this gal, is that I want more balance in my life, because I'm single. I'm divorced. I don't really have a family connection except one brother in San Francisco. I don't have children. So my work does become so much of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a fabulous job. So a perfect boss and you know, a wonderful support and love. So that's fine. But I'm trying to bring this other aspect into my life, which is my mate. And I don't know if you remember, you probably don't, but you told me before that that my soulmate and I decided before we came into this life that we would not be together this time because of our spiritual mission. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yes.
Okay. And that we didn't want to goof anything up because of our mission. And if we got too involved in a relationship, that it would sidetrack us from our mission.
All right. So you're going to talk about relationship patterns, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
So I've had lots of relationships in my life, but nothing ever worked out. And you also told me before that, yes, that there still can be somebody that could come along, but that it's going to have to be somebody who's willing to work on a relationship, and there are very few men that are willing to do that, which we all know. And I've heard a lot of other things, you know, from other sources, too, that I'm supposed to meet somebody. But I have a great deal of mistrust. I have a very difficult time believing that. I want to, but there's so much fear because of what's happened to me in the past and all the other relationships. There's a block here.
All
right. I can't even make myself. I keep saying, you got to get on the internet. You got to get online. You got to start making some effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's such a fear there that I can't make myself do it. I'm like stuck.
All right.
And so I know if I don't put the effort out there, it probably won't happen. And so what bothers me is as you told me last time, I pretty much had to get my life together. I had to learn to balance my life and be self-sufficient and self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
And I needed to learn that first and heal myself first, which you said I was almost there.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was another 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's go to that relationship pattern.
Okay.
That you're so afraid of that you've stalled yourself.
Okay.
What happens in relationships?
Well,
you find somebody, and then what happens?
Well, I seem to pick the wrong people.
All right. And how do you know that they're wrong people? What do they do?
It's because, let's see, I've been in love 6 times. Had a terrible marriage. It didn't last too long, thank goodness. But I always pick somebody that doesn't come through in the end. They have a commitment problem. And the guy's maybe in the fast lane. So,
okay.
Well, things go way back to my childhood, but I don't want to go through all that again. Everybody else needs a turn here. But it goes way back even to like when I was 30. I was engaged and we were together 3 years, and then he got cold feet 8 weeks before the wedding. That was a real tough one to take. Everything was ready. It
mm-hmm.
was a commitment problem. And then there's another
one.
And
how did you feel?
Oh, you can imagine.
Totally. Well, we can imagine, but we want you to tell us, all right?
Devastated. I was devastated.
All right. So
totally
where was the anger, and where was the fear, and where is the hurt? Tell us.
Where was it?
Yeah. Talk to us about it. Talk to us about those emotions.
It? Well, it's like, okay, my father didn't love me. There wasn't any love in our childhood. I finally found there got somebody who's going to love me, and you're deserting me again, you jerk.
Okay, you
know,
you jerk.
Like,
okay, there's some anger.
There's
all right.
anger.
Okay.
And it's, how could you do this to me? Because
all right.
how,
outrage.
Know, you led me along for 3 years, and now you're cutting out on me. Yeah, it was a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm. And rage.
It
okay.
was like injustice, feelings of injustice, and a lot of hurt, you know, because somebody disappointed me again.
Let's use the example at age 30, all right? This guy who 8 weeks before the wedding got cold feet, what did he say? How did he say it? Did he just do it as a coward, or did he actually say it to your face, or
a coward.
did he send you leave a phone message? How did he do it?
He was a coward.
So how did he do it?
I don't want to go into a long story here, but we were on the beach in Newport Beach, and he just started to get cold feet, started saying, well, he was trying to sort of back down, but he didn't really come out and say it.
So just, what did he say then?
I can't remember. It was too many years ago. But he was implying that, well, he was.
And you knew right away as soon as he said that, so you felt fear, yes?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't quite ready, and I thought, it's been 3 years, come on. So there, you know, and all of a sudden, it became very clear, and I got up off the beach and ran off and got hysterical. And he followed me and the whole bit. And then I was hysterical all the way home. And then I just cut it off. I said, that's it.
And you were what do you mean by hysterical? What did you say? What kind of things did you do?
Well, what's hysterical means crying.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of crying. Lots of, just...
And did you say anything? Did you say any anger stuff? Or did you say any... Did you talk about your fears? Did you say anything of what you were angry at? How'd you express yourself? Just cry?
Yeah, mostly that.
Okay.
I don't remember what I said. It was just, we didn't discuss a lot. I was too hysterical.
But you remember what you felt?
Yes.
Okay. So you were in that shock, in the devastation, there was anger, fear, and hurt.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so, and you didn't know how to express yourself, so you just cried.
Right.
Okay, when you don't know how to express hurt, as we said earlier, uh-huh. it's easy to slide into self-pity.
Okay.
So, first of all, you had to numb out. You had to shut yourself down. Self-pity does a good job of that. It's a pretend nurturing of yourself. So you're going to cry, have a lot of cry, and then you're going to keep crying. And there's a certain point where just the shock and the devastation and the pain moves into self-pity. Are you aware that you went there?
Yes.
Okay. How long did you stay more or less in self-pity? Days, weeks, months? How long did you stay there? Overall?
About 6 months.
All right. Now, let's look at your anger. After that initial incident on the beach and you cried, right? So when did you start getting angry externally? When did you start showing anger?
You mean inside or?
No, outside.
Mm-hmm. After the breakup and all that.
After the breakup. After it was officially over. Then you were able to say your piece, your anger piece, yes? Did you? Did you say anything angry? Did you express any anger externally?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. So you thought anger's thoughts.
You mean, was afterwards, you mean?
After, you said you weren't angry till after the breakup, yes?
I guess that's true. It's been too many years.
All right.
I think so.
Okay. Well, do you have a relationship that's more recent?
Yes.
That you can remember? Okay, let's go there.
That's
and when he had cold feet there, what happened? Same thing or similar?
Well, this was about 15 years ago. That was the worst one of all.
All right, let's go there.
It's same problem, a commitment problem.
Okay, so tell us what that means in terms of events.
I'm not being very specific, sorry.
We know.
Okay.
But that's why we keep asking you questions.
I'm trying not to take up too much time because there are other people here too. But
well, you don't have to give all the details. You can just give us the kind of the overview.
Okay.
Were you and he going to get engaged?
Yes.
In marriage?
Okay. One, yeah.
Okay. And then when did he, relative to the marriage date or whatever, when did he start to get cold feet?
Well, this one is a real classic example of commitment phobia. He left a long trail of women. Oh, my gosh.
See, now that's background. Let's skip that,
yeah,
please.
Okay.
Let's talk about your feelings, dear one.
So he was very much in love with me, so naturally, and we were talking about getting married, so I assumed everything was okay.
And then?
Well, I don't know. He started just getting distant at times, and...
Mm-hmm.
then I found out when I talked to him that he'd had a mother who was an alcoholic, and I got some books and read them, and then I got into that whole pattern of adult children of alcoholics.
Okay.
And that they have this pattern of needing to get away at periods and mm-hmm. remove themselves from the person. And
how did you feel when he would need to get away and remove himself from you? What did you feel?
Just bewilderment. But the real thing...
Now, what else?
Abandonment again.
All right. And when you're abandoned, what do you feel? What emotion? Anger, fear, hurt? What do you feel?
Unlovable, not worthy of being loved.
There's judgments you make of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's underneath that? What's emotion?
Hurt.
Right, because a way you were looking to him to increase a sense of your value and a lovability and your worthfulness and all that.
Yes.
You had given him some of the power to validate you.
Absolutely. I gave him all the power.
All right. Now, have you ever thought what it feels like to be on the receiving end of all that power?
Probably pretty good.
It
doesn't?
No.
Oh.
No. You know why? When there's a lot of power given to you, someone's looking to you, you make the difference in my life. Everything that you think and you feel about me is going to be major, major, major for me. And and this person is relying on you to make them happy and to make them fulfilled. And they're depending on you for that.
Heavy responsibility.
Absolutely.
Duty.
Demand.
Demand.
Major demand. Mm-hmm. How many people are loving themselves enough that they could handle this kind of demand to love someone else perfectly?
Not too many.
Probably hardly anyone.
And with the guy, he's probably afraid he's going to fail at some point.
Right. So, again, if somebody else gets frightened,
they back off.
They do something.
Yeah.
They have to manipulate. They have to change the energies. They have to escape. They have to do something. And that's a trigger for you.
Yes.
When the guy goes into fear mm-hmm. because of the pressure is too much, the demand is too much, the demand for him to be perfect is too much, mm-hmm. then he pulls away. And then you are bereft.
Right.
Because you've given him now all of this of you, all this value, all this light of you, you've given it to him.
Right.
So, and he's just trashed it.
I don't have that anymore. As you know, I'm pretty complete now.
Okay.
That was the last turning point where I had to get over being that way.
That's right.
That was
the turning point. So now, can you look into the future and not fear that hurt?
No.
Okay. That means that it's not completely healed. We would recommend that you go to that self that you were 15 years ago. Or to the self that you were at 30. And hold them just like you hold a child self. Mm-hmm. And love them. And make sure that they have all sorts of light beings loving them, loving, 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 loving them, and nurture, 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 nurture them.
Okay? The guys involved, you mean? Or myself?
For the you that you were.
Oh, me, for me.
Right.
Okay.
So, because you've got to provide a really good, solid foundation of self-love.
Right.
A lot of times, you don't really know how much you've got of it until you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you get the reflections. See, your reality, this illusion out here, is your mirror. And everything that comes to you from outside of you is a reflection of what's going on.
Right.
It tells you. You've got messages up the wazoo coming to you every day. All right? So if you love and love and love and love and nurture yourself, aren't you going to be in a much better place?
Absolutely.
But if you wait until the relationship to see if you're lovable, then you're starting to give the power away to the guy again.
I see. Now it's real clear.
Okay. So you want to build that lovability here. And what you want to do is in meditation to go into this in meditation, go back into that event and stand up for yourself and talk to him and talk to this guy. And no judgment of him, no telling him, oh, I know you're an adult child of alcoholic, or I know that you have this problem, or I know you have that problem. Don't go there. That's not what you speak in your meditation to him.
Okay.
You speak, when you pull away, here's what I have realized, and I now love myself. I've taken my power back, and I promise, you know, I'm not going to give you my power anymore.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to put my demands for you to love me perfectly anymore. I'm loving myself.
Okay.
And that means in the future that we can be free to enjoy each other, free to play, free to explore, because we're not expecting and demanding too much of each other anymore.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
So you make this kind of speech to them. You may maybe want to go back, you know, more than one relationship. And at that same point in the relationship, you get devastated. You nurture and love yourself until you feel better, and support yourself, and remind yourself that you're this light being. And then you step into it and tell him. Tell him where you're coming from.
Okay.
Right? Because you see, if you're free, and if you love yourself, do you realize how attractive that is in a man, to a man?
I guess so.
It's phenomenal.
Okay.
In fact, when you and these guys got together initially, that's what attracted them to you. Because you seem to be so self-sufficient, you seem to love yourself, you seem to enjoy yourself, you seem to be life with you was cool, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to be around it, and you had a certain freedom. You didn't put up with BS.
Right.
Right? You were adventurous. Mm-hmm. You were willing to do stuff that other gals weren't willing to do. That's exciting to them.
So that's called playing the game, always being a little distant.
No.
I mean, no? Because that's what they
that's
tell
being,
us.
That's
right,
being, that was being, that was, you were being you. You were being you. All right? See, you were being free, being you. But after you got into the relationship, you started getting codependent. You began looking to him for your value and your worth, and you started changing yourself.
Yes.
Because you didn't think you were good enough. You said, oh my gosh, for me to be able to have this relationship, to have a commitment, which would be my ultimate security, I need that security. I got to have that security. I want that commitment. That commitment will make me feel secure, and then I'll feel okay.
Yeah, it came from my childhood.
Yeah.
Big time from my dad, because there was none of that in my childhood.
Right, there you go.
None of that. So I looked, as we talked last time, a guy has said I came in to learn compassion in this life, which I have big time. But you said, which was so accurate, that to come to that point where you have to learn compassion, there was a lot of pain there to bring you to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And you have to love yourself.
Zero in my childhood. So you said in my teens I had to create some kind of something to look forward to tell myself that it was okay, I was going to have it out here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay, but you see, the thing is that there is a part of you that when you're not, there's a part of you when you're not in a relationship, mm-hmm. you're very free, you're very open, you're just flow, life is good, da-da-da-da-da-da. And as soon as you got in those relationships, it all started falling apart.
Yeah,
you do. You started leaning on him and needing him and getting anxious about him and worrying, is it okay? And what does he think? And what is it all going to be okay? And am I going to get the commitment? Am I going to be secure? Am I going to be secure? Am I going to be secure? You see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that is your fear. See, and we're talking about fear now.
Yes.
Your fear entered the relationship. as soon as your boyfriend started showing a certain independence. You know, at first, you know, it's all lovey-dovey, you know, and then after a while, you know, you've got to go to another level of balance. Mm-hmm. You go deeper, mm-hmm. So you know each other better, right? New intimacy level, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to maintain that sense of lightness and flow and whatever, even as you go to deeper levels of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Or you start sliding into a game, mm-hmm. into the game pattern. Right. Now, for you to have maintained your sense of independence and adventure and freedom and fun, to you, if you had sustained that, that would have been something that would not have been loving to you to do. You thought if you were loving and he were loving, then the relationship would look like something in particular. You had an idea of this kind of mutual needing kind of thing.
Yes.
All right? And so because you had a definition based on your child self's inner need, right, mm-hmm. that basically we would say that's what busted your relationships.
Oh.
Okay. And that was your fear.
Mm,
okay.
Okay.
So let's look at your fear. What would you do instead in a relationship? You would remain being yourself, having fun, doing adventure, being independent and sassy when you felt like it.
Absolutely, because I feel very complete now.
Right. Now, you feel very complete now. Now, the point is here is that a lot of people can feel extremely complete when they're not in the relationship.
Okay.
And as soon as they get into the relationship, the invitation to be incomplete comes in.
Okay.
Okay. So don't let yourself fall for that one.
Okay.
Now, the fear is, oh my gosh, if I get into a relationship, I have got to show him that I love him. And he's got to show me that he loves me. And the way we do this is this. And if he's not behaving according to plan, I'm starting to get scared.
Yes. Okay.
This isn't going to work. Oh no, I knew it wasn't going to work. It's like all of the others. Okay.
It's a pattern.
It's a pattern. And we're going inevitably down this pattern. Okay. And then you take this fear. Okay. And what did you do in the relationship when you felt the fear? You would get more clawing.
Yes.
You would get more needy.
Yes.
You would get more attached and have to know everything about everything he was doing. Or have to be with him all the time or something. You know what we're saying?
Yes, I do.
Your version, whatever it was of that.
Yes.
Getting more. I have to get more. Right? That was the way you responded to your fear.
Yes.
Okay? So, let's say you get into a relationship.
Okay.
Okay? And goes past that certain point.
Okay.
You go past that line again. Oh, boy, it's getting kind of scary. We're getting on deeper levels of intimacy here. And you start feeling the pull to go to the old pattern.
Okay.
And start looking. Does he love me? Does he love me?
Okay.
What do I need to change now for him?
Mm-hmm.
And even though intellectually you know no is the answer, there's a fear that will come in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is if you don't change, if you don't make sure that this relationship is secure, it's going to be painful. It's going to be horrible. You're going to be abandoned. You're going to feel wretched.
Oh.
Your life is going to be destroyed, blah, 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 blah,
okay.
blah. And it gets really scary.
Yeah, I see.
And then you start changing your behavior.
Okay.
So instead, go to the place in your memory in those relationships where that fear really started kicking in.
Okay.
And from there, change it. Go back into that relationship in meditation. And you step into your powerful light being self, the self that you are, nice and whole and complete.
Mm-hmm.
And you step in and say, you know, I'm starting to feel this fear, but it's exciting because I'm seeing that we can break out of this pattern now. We can break free of these boundaries. I can be free. I can be happy. I can be celebratory and I can be joyous. And I can allow myself simultaneously to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
and it can feel really good because I'm secure in myself.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm much more capable of doing that now.
Oh, we think so too. But the point is that you want to install it first in meditation so you can feel how it feels to be there.
Okay.
Because when the real circumstances in the physical plane in the manifestation show up, you've got to know what it feels like to be there.
Okay.
In the good place. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to slide and slide, and after a while you're going to say, oh my, I am in the old pattern again. I'm starting to get nervous about it.
Okay.
And I'm feeling insecure again.
So this really is going all back to my father, isn't it? It's my childhood.
No, it's you, not your father.
It's me.
Always remember, you're it.
Okay.
This is your life.
All right.
Your father does his dance because of his motivations, but you respond because of yours.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So you go back and you just kind of proactively work with your child self and just hold her at night. Like we said earlier, that, you know, the pillow, get a beautiful pillow, maybe decorate it, maybe just a lovely, lovely thing. And every night you talk to your child self, hold the pillow and go to sleep, holding her in your arms. And in the morning, when you leave for work or whatever you do, leave her in the company of a bunch of angels that are just going to nurture her and love her and just be with her all day.
Okay.
Soak her, drench her with security, safety, love, security, safety, love, right? Because she never got enough safety and security in being loved. Mm-hmm. And so she kept looking for it from, you know, her lovers. And they can't provide it either. Mm-hmm. Nobody can provide this but you. It's all about you. Mm-hmm. It's your life. You provide it. And then you are the partner that you want, you know, your man to be like too. You're both of you. Then you can be loved for who you are without having to change. That's the greatest relationship there is.
Yes.
Where he can appreciate who you really are and you don't change. And he doesn't have to change because you both enjoy each other just the way you are. That's a relationship that lasts.
Wow.
You see?
I see that.
Okay, now you want to work with this fear so that you get the excitement about breaking free and finding a whole new level of love.
Okay.
Okay? Then there is the anger that you felt. Mm-hmm. The outrage. How could he do this? How could it happen again? Right?
Yes.
All that.
Okay.
Okay? And you know where that occurred in the relationship too. There's at a point where there was all the outrage, there was all the anger, there was all the, you know, how could he? And feeling really just like somebody came and rained on your parade.
Right.
And you're really pissed about it. Because it's not right. It's not fair. Right. It's not fair. I've just tried so hard. I've done this and this and this. I'm entitled to a good relationship now.
That's right.
Damn it, this guy, it goes and does the stupid stuff all the other guys do.
That's the Libra in me, fair. Fairness is so big for a Libra.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Libras can't deal with unfairness. They have a hard... Are you a Libra? Okay. She's agreeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we want you to understand, dear Libra, all right, as an air sign, it is your definition of fairness.
That's correct.
And there are many definitions. It's the specific what you think is fair and how you think fairness should look, feel, taste, smell, play out, you name it. You have an idea about it. And if you're not careful, you can try to control the relationship with your definition. Okay?
Ringing a bell for two of us here.
All right? Where you are the monitor of fairness in this relationship. Now, where does that put you? It puts you in a parent position and your lover into child.
Oh, my gosh.
And what child is going to be able to handle the expectation of perfect love and commitment? No child can do it. It's beyond their capacity. And you freak the poor guy out.
Okay.
Okay, and this happens. Now we're saying it this way. It happens the other way, too. There are guys who do this to gals, and the gals have to run away, too.
I hope this is helpful to everybody in the room, so we're all getting learning something.
You can stop feeling guilty.
I don't want to be selfish by monopolizing everything. Okay. Well, this was an appropriate question then for us today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're always looking for situations where there's emotion. And is there a really big situation in anybody's life where there isn't? Okay? And those same emotions show up because the opportunities are there for you, instead of being angry, to be passionate about being respected, being heard, being listened to, being able to, as two equals, to negotiate the rules or negotiate the boundaries or negotiate the patterns of your relationship. Now, you didn't really know to negotiate them. You had an expectation this is what they should look like, and he's not following suit, so evidently, you know, he's not being fair.
What it was from my childhood, my mother and father fought constantly. There was never any negotiation.
Yeah, they didn't know how to fight fair.
I had never had an example set for me how to discuss something with anybody.
Right, but here you are now.
Yes, okay.
Okay, we're looking at the future now, you know, because the more time you spend thinking about your parents and how it went wrong back there does not help you.
No, it doesn't.
All that's going to do is going to take you into self-pity.
Okay, well, my
and you just don't want to go there anymore.
My dad is just reincarnated anyway. I was told that.
Fine, good.
So he's gone now.
Good, we hope so. All right, because he's got his life to live now. Right. All right, so with the anger that you felt, the powerless rage, right?
Okay.
That you were powerless. You take your power back, and in meditation, as a powerful person, you step back into the position where you were there in that relationship, and you say, this is a relationship with the two of us. And because I don't think this is fair, you and I need to sit down now, and we need to negotiate and discuss and define what fair is so that we can both know where we stand with each other.
Okay.
And if you did that, you know, rather than just assume, okay, then you would have a different response, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Right. So imagine yourself talking that way. Instead of saying, listen, you just are not fair, you're just not treating me right, and you're not doing this right, and you're not whatever. Imagine yourself saying, hey, wait a minute, let's sit down and talk this through. What is fair? I don't feel it's fair. You say, do you believe in fairness? You ask in your meditation and see if he believes in fairness. You know, really, there isn't really anything that's truly fair. Life is not fair.
No.
Right? And it's a great disappointment to people who have a great hold on, it's got to be fair. Everything's got to be fair and just. This is a compensation and an adjustment of a rationalization for feeling insecure and wanting balance, which is the Libra thing. It's balance, really.
Yes.
It's not really about fairness, but it's about balance. Right? Because there are certain places where you need a certain amount of attention and you need something done your way for you to feel, you know, valued. And then for him, it would be something else, another way for him to be valued. But it'd be different. So he wouldn't expect you to do things for him, to value him the way you want to be valued when he doesn't want to be valued that way.
Okay, I understand.
For him, that would be a pressure, and vice versa. A pressure to do it in a way that's not maybe that conducive for you.
Okay.
Now, before we go into too much detail and get it too complicated, what we do want to say here is that for you to stand up for your passion is that we need to be equals working together in love and harmony in this relationship to determine a win-win for both of us. And whatever that, however we define it, then it'll work for us. We will work it out and figure it out together, negotiate it. You see, it'd be a shared experience.
And I have a further question because I don't want this to drag on too long.
Mm-hmm.
But last time you specifically said to me, you have to find a man who's willing, you use that word, to work on the relationship. And there are very few men who are willing to do that because they are afraid, they've been raised that way in our culture, that if they have to get into discussion with a woman in a relationship and there's something wrong with them, that they don't want to deal
right.
with it because they have to fix themselves, so that this is always a breach.
Okay, so what do you feel about that?
Well, if that's the case, it's going to take a long time to find somebody.
There's a belief to break.
Okay.
That's a fear-based belief.
That's totally my fear. Is I don't.
That's
think
your fear.
I can find
because
somebody.
Even though we say there's not that, maybe not that many men who are able to do that, we didn't say there weren't any.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And you, we all want you to understand, if you are valuable to you, aren't you going to be valuable to him? Right. And if you are willing to be open and loving and free with you, what kind of man are you going to be willing to attract? A man who's willing and open and free. And if you're responsible, he'll be responsible.
Okay.
The thing is you've got to hold the energies there.
Okay.
It's your power. Okay. So with your passion, speak it through as if you're speaking it to these guys that you've been with before, looking at the passion of having a relationship that goes beyond all the limitations of the consensus reality culture, because the two of you can dream together.
Okay.
Passion for the balance, passion for the equality, passion for the shared experience. You see?
I see.
All right. That's the anger. Moved into passion, the fear, as we said, moved into excitement, the hurt moved into loving yourself and nurturing yourself. Now, put all those three together now, just right now in your mind, those three states of power and those three states of, which are optimal, looking at a future that is much more beautiful.
So anger moves into passion.
Fear goes into excitement.
Fear goes into excitement.
And hurt goes into love. Okay.
Okay.
So put the passion, the excitement, and the love together. Feel them. What would that feel like if you could hold that energy in a relationship?
It'd be great.
Okay. Now, what kind of future would that create?
One with these three qualities in them.
Right, feel it.
Okay, so
now we're going to challenge your Libra-ness, okay?
Okay.
That's an air sign. Let's put it into words and let's get all mental about it. Okay, and let's analyze it and evaluate the No, let's go feel it right now. Feel it.
I need to ask you one thing. Excuse me.
No, just a minute. Just let's do this first, all right?
Okay.
Just feel passion.
Okay.
Standing up for yourself and the passion of it. All right? Feel the excitement. That you're ready to break out of a limitation and go into an unknown that is far better. Feel the love for yourself, the strength and the confidence of loving yourself. Feel these three together.
Okay.
All right. What future does that create? What does that attract to you?
It attracts passion, excitement, and love.
Feel it. Feel yourself attracting it. Right now. Just kind of feel like I'm a magnet. I'm a magnet. I attract passion. I attract excitement. I attract love.
Okay.
That's Imagine if that was natural to you.
That's usually where I fall down, is that third step of creation, is feeling it. I get through one and two, which we learned last
Well, good you came today, because it's really important to feel.
I understand that. Yes.
As soon as you start analyzing and rationalizing, you're not going to anchor anything into the physical manifestation. You're not going to bring it into physical plane
That's
level.
That's the Libra. We're weighing everything.
Well, now, certainly. You have other stuff in your astrological chart than Libra. All right. Okay. You have a moon sign. You have a rising. You have all sorts of stuff in there.
Okay.
You're not going to be Libra, 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 Libra. You know, you're going to have other balancing aspects in your natal chart. So yeah, even though the Libra may be in your way in a certain sense, well, as you start to feel, it will come into balance between thoughts and feelings will be balanced together. Because if you have thoughts and you're not aware of your feelings, the thoughts will run to the negative and to the fear. If you have feelings without the thoughts, being aware of the thoughts, you'll be Looney Tunes. You'll be off the deep end. All right? But if you have both of them together, you have balance.
Okay.
All right. Now, we do have to close this part of the session.
Yes.
All right. But because we have a meditation ahead for you.
Thank you for all that time.
You're certainly welcome.
I hope it helps.
There's a lot
the
of issues
here
for everyone.
And gentlemen. Okay.
Yeah, you're just you feel very guilty that you've taken up everybody's time. Don't worry about it, okay? Let it go.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mainly because everybody needs to know this too. All right? All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and this one's going to be a little bit shorter.
A lot shorter.
All right. This is 7 minutes. 7 minutes tops. All right? And then we'll start with a meditation, which we'll close this day with. And we'll do some installation of what we've been talking about, and you get to do some more feeling. Yes? All right. So we can imprint and program into you something really positive into your future. So think about what you'd like. Think about what you would like to shift out of. What pattern is it you're ending, and where do you want to go with it? Okay, just kind of briefly think about that if you haven't already, which you probably have, then do it through these few minutes. All right, and so we'll return shortly. Farewell.